This is Jay Sekulow. The battle looms on health care reform and the issue of the funding of Planned Parenthood.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The pro-life label is the Republicans playing politics with women's lives. Let's be blunt. The Republican bill will make it more likely, not less likely, that women and their children will die. American women deserve better than this mean Republican bill.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I'm going to do my best to work as hard as I can to have the people in my own state, people all over this country, tell the Republican leadership that our job is to bring health care to more people, not fewer people, to lower premiums, not raise premiums, to make sure that women get the health care that they need, not defund Planned Parenthood.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. So the Senate Republicans have unveiled their 142-page plan on health care. This is just coming out. The president said he will support it. The bill was written by a group of 13 senators headed up by Mitch McConnell. But there is some Republicans, four Republicans in particular, Senator Paul, Cruz, Johnson, and Lee, that are not yet ready to support it. But it's getting, I will say at the outset, it's getting very, very close. Jordan, what is the latest, and what is the basis upon which that they're objecting right now? This is all part
right
of the negotiations,
of course.
Ted
Cruz, it was he wants states to have more ability to be flexible. So he used the example of, a more moderate Republican governor, like in Ohio with John Kasich. He should have this flexibility to run it in a certain way. And that, the governor in Texas, Greg Abbott, who's more conservative, he should have more flexibility to run his state so that it's not like a one-size-fits-all. That was kind of where he was highlighting specifically. So, again, I think that those are – he did not say, I'll never be able to vote for this. He said there needs to be some amendments made, some changes made. I think that the liberal press, they were running headlines like four senators are opposing this. None of them in their joint statement said that they are opposing and voting no.
Right. That was
they
a just misleading
say,
statement.
They say they are not ready to vote yes on this, and that's not surprising from those four. I mean, these are some of the more conservative members of the U.S. Senate, and then you mix in the libertarian side as well with someone like a Rand Paul, too. So, I mean, not shocking that they were the want some amendments. I think the toughest one to get on this will probably be Rand Paul. That I think, Cruz and Lee, again, that you can – they
Johnson,
are, there are things you can do, changes you can make to give states a little bit more flexibility.
And I think the state's having some flexibility. I mean, that's the whole idea. By the way, the individual mandate gone, employer mandate gone, funding of Planned Parenthood type organizations is in the bill, that there will not be funding for them. There will be funding for community health centers, however, that will replace the Planned Parenthood dollars, which I think is a really smart move. And they do have the state waivers from regulations, cannot waive pre-existing condition coverage requirement. So I think we're very close. I mean, I think you've got four senators that are raising points that they're not valid. They're valid points. It's part of the negotiations. Looks like a vote could take place
sometime next week. I mean, it's again, it's a moving target here. There's talk about changing the recess and pushing that back.
I was going to ask that to Than.
There has not been like a we must vote this week or else we won't vote on it at all.
Yeah.
But some of that, again, will be determined.
Than, yeah, go ahead.
By their process.
Yeah. Hey, Than, they going to stay in for recess? What's going to happen there? Or are they going to get this done before?
They're going to try to push for a vote next week. I think that's one of the leveraging points, just like Jordan was talking about the four senators who say, not that they impose it. In fact, Jay, they all went out of their way to say they want to improve the bill, not kill it. Where did you hear that before? You heard that from the Freedom Caucus in the House? What happened? Some changes were made. The bill passed the House. So would they stay in session? I think they could. I would target a vote for late next week, Jay, maybe even into the weekend.
I saw Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan this week in Washington, spent some time with them, and I think we're very close. I mean, this will be a major legislative win. All right, we're going to take calls, comments, and phone calls. Phone lines are open, Logan.
Hey, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard on the air today. You can also find us broadcasting on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow this last chance this week to get your voice heard. Once again, 1-800-684-3110.
And your support for the ACLJ makes all the difference. ACLJ.org for that. We'll be back with more, including your comments at 1-800-684-3110.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, a lot of rumblings about a potential Supreme Court vacancy, likely to be Justice Anthony Kennedy. These things tend to be about right about 25% of the time. But it's the end of the term is coming up in the next days, so these things tend to increase. But we'll see what happens. I mean, it wouldn't be shocking if that did happen. We're talking about health care reform. Than, give me your kind of prediction right now and where you see this going. You got four senators, as Jordan mentioned, Senator Rand Paul, Cruz, Johnson, and Lee, saying they're not quite there yet. They're not saying they're opposing it, by the way. They're just saying there's some issues. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, in fairness, I think that response actually shows they're closer to consensus in the United States Senate, Jay, than they were in the United States House when that language was first drafted. Remember, there are a lot of changes there. I think the fact that you've only had four senators come out and say that they do need to see changes before they can get across the line, I think that's closer than I thought they'd be at this point. Jay, you're going to get a CBO score probably over the weekend. Then it'll be on the floor of the Senate next week. You will have a lot of amendments in order. Yep. And the plan right now is for a vote near the end of next week. If I were betting on this right now, Jay, I think it's going to be passed sometime late next week. And yes, I do think it will be passed.
So, Jordan, I mean, this is a big deal, folks. If this passes the House, the Senate, goes back to the House, I think it gets reconciled very quickly. Or is there a reconciliation process here, Than? I'm hearing there may not be.
You can go to conference to reconcile the differences, but Jay, if this language or something very close to it is passed, I think the House will take it up as is, so, because honestly, this is not that different than what the House already passed.
So Jordan, I mean, that would be, politically speaking, would be an earthquake.
This would be a massive legislative achievement. It's why I think it's a great endorsement, by the way, when you have Planned Parenthood opposing it and then President Obama coming out so strongly yesterday in opposition to this legislation. To me, Than, if you're a conservative member of Congress, if you're a Ted Cruz or a conservative member in the House, and you have a president, the president who you know, was behind Obamacare, Obama himself,
the namesake, right,
saying this is so horrible, that's like, to me, the best endorsement for conservatives, is that President Obama saying, don't do this. Why? Because it dismantles his only legislative achievement.
Yeah,
but he's saying, don't do it. To me, that means, hey, every Republican, you should be doing this.
Yeah, President Obama is calling it the repeal of Obamacare, and Cecile Richards is saying it ends access to Planned Parenthood. I would tell you this, they are both absolutely correct, and they are the best endorsement of this bill that could possibly be given.
Let me give you the what's exactly being said by Planned Parenthood. This is the Senate just released its version of Trump Care. No surprise, quote, it defunds Planned Parenthood and threatens the care of millions of Americans. She doesn't, of course, put in there that it's going to take that money and provide it for women's health care through community-based clinics. So that they ignore, of course. There's no question this is, quote, the worst bill for women's health in a generation. We must fight. And then she says, correct, and end access to Planned Parenthood maternity care. It's a disaster. We also know that their maternity care for Planned Parenthood is basically non-existent. That's number one. Number two, the bill itself takes the money that was going to Planned Parenthood and has it going towards community health centers for women's health care, actual real health care. Section 203 of the bill on page 133 provides $422 million for women's health care in the form of community health care centers, which are more direct and more supportive of those women that are actually in need, gets them out of the abortion funding business. So, that, look, why are we funding Planned Parenthood? I've said that for, you know, they're a large organization. They have the right to raise their support and their money. They do it. But the idea that we have to pay for it is kind of ridiculous. All right, let's go ahead. Lou, you want to take a call or a comment? What do we have?
Sure, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Tracy in California, line five.
Hey, Tracy.
Tracy, you there? All right, let's put Tracy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on there. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on Elizabeth Warren, that first clip that you played at the beginning, where she says that if this bill passes, that more women and children will die, which is just, in my opinion, just so sad but slightly comical, when in reality abortion is killing millions of babies, and that is the only thing they have. I mean, this money is going to be going to other clinics,
right,
and Planned Parenthood should have been defunded long ago. And it's, I feel like Planned Parenthood is just trying to pull out all the stops here to get that support and put like a fear tactic.
Well, that's what it, no, that's exactly what it is. But let me go ahead and play for you what exactly what Senator Warren said. Here it is.
The pro-life label is the Republicans playing politics with women's lives. Let's be blunt. The Republican bill will make it more likely, not less likely, that women and their children will die.
Okay, this is absurd. So $442 million goes to these community health centers. Now, that's going to give a lot of people, including women and children, a lot of care that Planned Parenthood isn't really doing. By the way, the president just signed the VA, the Veterans Administration Accountability Act, which is something he campaigned on. That has now been signed into an executive order today, and I think that's great news. But this is what's so interesting is the funding for community health centers called CHIP, Reauthorization Act of 2015, and it goes through exactly what will happen. So, Jordan, again, it's scare tactic from the left. We shouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so, again, it's the idea that the grandma is being pushed off the cliff. They go back to that tactic once again. But in reality, Than, and I think Republicans need to get out there with this message loud and clear,
yep,
about all of the counties that people will have literally zero choices left. They will not be able to buy insurance on the exchange. And then states that will have zero health care plans on the exchange in just the next year. And for those of you out there that are taking this hardline approach that just let everything fall apart, well, that would be under the Republicans' watch. That's not going to do well for if you want to keep conservatives in power through the midterm elections and then even leading into the 2020 elections. And it's not going to do well to say, oh, we just let everything fall apart and try to blame the Democrats. That's not going to work.
No,
the Democrats hope that is the what happens, that there's enough Republican division that they can't get anything done and health care falls apart to the point where the Republicans are gone.
Especially after the devastating defeats they had in the special elections.
Yeah, right.
So if the president comes up now with a win on a major legislative move and you had a Supreme Court justice confirmed, you could say this has been quite a successful first 6 months.
And you can move on to taxes. Remember, we keep saying that you've really got to figure out, are you going to address health care because it's so intertwined with the tax code? And then once this is done, then you can move on to taxes. That actually has a lot more bipartisan support.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – I think we're setting up for a big legislative
win here.
And then
all these – I see the Wall Street Journal. I see some of these. They're saying, oh, this is no good. This is not right. We've all said this is phase one of at least three phases. Phase one is the reconciliation process. Do everything you can the easiest way. Phase two – is doing the going through the administrative and agency rule. And then phase three, once the Democrats, because of the slim majority, especially in the Senate, are no longer trying to save Obamacare, that's gone, they're going to be more willing to deal. And so you're going to be able to put more legislative fixes in. Don't think of this as like the end-all on healthcare. It's the beginning of getting things back on track.
All right, Logan, comment or call?
Yeah, comments coming in. Sylvia said they need. She disagrees, says they need to repeal and replace all of it, not keep anything. So that's her comments. Judy, though, says, what's the likelihood of Planned Parenthood actually getting defunded?
I think on the Planned Parenthood element, I think it's likely thin. What are you hearing up there in Washington right now?
Extraordinarily high, and in large part, Jay, due to the effort that we made in 2015 to make sure the parliamentarian would rule it in order. There will be an amendment to strip it, Jay, but I think at this moment we win that amendment. So I think the odds are very high on that.
And on the repealing the whole thing or replacing it, I mean, it's just not the practical way it can work. I mean, that's just...
Can't do that through reconciliation.
Yeah, can't do that through a reconciliation. Go ahead.
That would take, you would have to do that through the normal legislative process.
It'll take forever.
And you're not going to get through the filibuster of the U.S. Senate right now. I mean, it sounds nice, but it ain't going to happen in the U.S. Senate.
We come back and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. I also want to talk about the president's statement on the tapes. Did you all get to get to – we came in after the air yesterday, right?
Yes.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll tell you about the process on that, and we'll talk about that. And we'll also take some calls. Logan, we have time to take – can we take one call? I want to talk to maybe – can we take Jody's call?
Yeah, we can take Jody in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, Jody, go ahead. You're on the air.
Jody, there?
Hey.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, how that's going to help people by them taking away the Obamacare, the people that can't afford to even go to a doctor and afford medication.
I mean, I'm not even sure where you're coming from, Joe. You're trying to read off a Democrat talking point. You don't understand the own terminology.
Which is not what you told the phone screen. You said that she was concerned about how the bill will affect Medicaid.
I'm not even sure if we asked her what Medicaid was, she could explain that. But again, I think that this is that, it's that idea, is that just tell people how horrible everything is. And they'll believe it. The truth is, if you have a Medicaid card right now, that doesn't really matter because most doctors won't take it. It's not health care. It's not health insurance. On the exchange issue, this goes back to the issue of no choices. And then ultimately, you might have one choice left right now, so no competition. And then second, there's then going to be zero choices. So it is falling apart, folks. It's still a narrow group of people.
Yep.
Also, to be clear, the narrow group of people who don't get insurance because of their age or their income level,
it's just from the government. 9 million people.
Or the people who don't get it from an employer or their spouse's employer or government service that they had, et cetera.
Yep.
It's a small group of people that we need to fix this for. And right now, going to be a disaster for them. We can't let that happen as a governing group, as conservatives governing. You can't let this just fall apart.
All right.
That's not a working strategy.
All right. We'll take more calls when we come back from break. Logan, know how you can stay engaged. You can certainly get in your calls and your comments.
That's right. No lines are available right now, but they'll open up 1-800-684-3110. We'll take some of these comments as well on social media during the break. And we're going to have some fun doing it. Again, 1-800-684-3110, or get your comments in. Facebook.com/JSecular. Periscope, search for JSecular.
Be right back. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. A lot of calls have come in. Let's go ahead and start taking some calls.
Yeah, let's go to Susan on line one in Virginia.
Hey, Susan.
You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a public health nurse in Virginia, and I hear a lot of comments from my clients because, of course, in public health, you're working with people on Medicaid or no insurance.
Right.
And I wish that they would just give the facts and talk to each other openly, publicly, and instead of saying, oh, this is bad, and just say the facts. I hear from so many clients who have dropped their Obamacare because we had here's a case in point, a pharmacist. The wife had changed jobs. They lost their insurance. They couldn't afford the Obamacare, even though he had a good salary, because he said, ma'am, it doesn't cover anything until I've spent $10,000. And I thought he was joking. I said, are you serious?
Well, but this is the problem that's happening with healthcare right now. I mean, under Obamacare, the costs have spiraled, and they spiraled out of control. And look, you've got a lot of states where there's one insurer or no insurers. I mean, they're completely pulling out of markets. So you can't do nothing here. That's why we think that this bill, as it's written, should be passed, and I think it will be passed. Again, removes the individual mandate and moves the employer mandate. There's a state stability fund to help address these market disruptions that are going on. Obamacare tax is repealed. It prohibits entities from providing abortion, takes that money, provides it for community health centers. There's Medicaid reform that allows states to have more control and flexibility, which is important. These are all really positive. This would be a massive win. And by the way, unlike the Obamacare legislation, which was 2,300 pages, this is 130 pages to get this, the Better Care Reconciliation Act, through.
Yeah. And so you got a difference in an approach, as we told you, because this is a phase one of a multi-phase strategy to get America's healthcare system working again for the American people who don't get it provided by their employer or if they work for the government or did work for the government. Don't get it that way. Don't get it through a spouse. And then also don't get it because of their income level or age. That this is for that narrow group of people. We are not trying to solve this for everyone. But what's happened is that with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, because of the impact it's had, it has impacted now all of our insurance and premiums, even though we're only trying to solve it for this narrow category of people who fall without health care provided to them, either, again, by employers or because of their age or income level. And that again is a narrow group of American people.
All right, so let's do this. I'm going to try to grab a couple more phone calls here before we go to our 30-minute break here. So what do we got?
Let's go to John, who's calling in Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, John. Five.
Hello, I love your program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to say I think we need more conservatives, though, to stand up and say that the federal government does not need to be in health care. We need to leave it up to the states, let the states decide, and then I think they should put a year, say no more Obamacare, and then in the meantime they can debate, say if they want insurance to be sold across state lines or if they want to add some other things in Congress, but leave most.
Well, this is not a phase one and done. It's not. Yeah. This is a three phase. Jordan said this is a three phase approach. The first phase to do this is what's being proposed here, which is to roll back some of the Obamacare, majority of it, which is causing the spiraling
cost
of healthcare.
As the president himself, President Obama, acknowledged that this would be the repeal of Obamacare. So it is the repeal of Obamacare. When the chief author, if he could try to spin that it's not, he would. He knows it is, but it's not the end game. I think, you know, the cross state lines can't happen through reconciliation.
No, that's got to
understand the legislative process.
But I think you get this phase one done, you're going to get phase two and phase three
in a much less controversial way. First of all, phase two is administrative agency rulemaking, so no legislative work there. And then phase three, you get rid of Obamacare, and the Democrats are no longer all lockstep in line because they're trying to save something from the president that they worked on. It's gone now. So they're going to want to make healthcare better for everybody too. And I think that what you're discussing, again, getting the federal government out of it more and more, that's when it happens in that third phase, even to a greater extent, because you don't have to, I mean, yes, the liberal Democrats are not going to vote for that, but the more moderate Democrats in the Senate
will,
even in the House, at least they're going to be open to the discussion.
So what happens, Stan? Let's talk about timing of when this goes through and then timing of when the president can sign it if it passes.
Yeah, all of the action on this is going to be next week in the Senate, Jay. You're going to get a CBO score early. Then you're going to have 20 hours of debate on the floor. You'll hear a lot of technical things like parliamentarian rulings, but the key votes are going to be late in the week when you'll have a vote on Planned Parenthood and then on final passage. And, Jay, I would just say this quickly. I mean, when the employer mandate is gone, when the individual mandate is gone, and when all of the taxes under Obamacare are gone, that is a giant first step towards repealing Obamacare. That's not a small first step. That is a giant step toward that goal.
So when would it then be on the president's desk, realistically? When would you see that?
If it doesn't pass the Senate until late next week, in theory, the House could take it up the very next day. But, Jay, if it goes into where the House is already on recess for the break, I would think the House would take it up the first couple of days they are back from that recess.
Which is
so,
when?
In theory, maybe that Tuesday after the July 4th recess. Don't have the date in front of me. It's like the 11th or the 12th,
so it's
like that.
I mean, we're talking about a three-week window here, and I'd love to see it before that. If you were guessing right now, if you were going to put a percentage on it, will we see this bill and the beginning of I consider this phase one of the repeal of Obamacare and a replacement, is this going to pass?
Yes, it is.
This would be a major, major legislative achievement for the House and Senate and also for the American people and for the president. It would be a major one.
Yeah, I mean, against all odds, really, and so many distractions, this idea, can Congress walk and chew gum with everything else going on? And this would be the answer that, yes, they can, which would also be a good sign that if there's another Supreme Court vacancy,
which we're hearing,
they could handle that and again, get these things done. And the effect that this would have, if health care gets done, taxes will get done probably very quickly as well. Fall, when they come back again. So you get taxes done. Then you've got the two major domestic issues of the time could be started with legislation done within the president's first year in office.
Which would be pretty impressive. All right, Logan, what are you hearing?
Kathy just asked, where can they read it? What's a reliable source to read the new health care bill? One,
It's the Senate Budget Committee.
Yeah.
It's on multiple news. It's 142
have
pages.
Have we got anything posted on it yet?
I tweeted it out. We posted on the Planned Parenthood section. I mean, we may have the hyperlink there, but I've tweeted it out. I mean, it's everywhere. It's not like a reliable sourcing. It's a legislative text.
Yeah, because it's a text, it's hard to read because it's replacing this sentence
with
that
sentence.
It is hard
to read. It's not going to be like a...
But it's unlike the other bill, it's actually people are reading it.
Yeah, there's just a lot of bullet points and references back.
But I've kind of given you the highlights when I say it removes the individual mandate, tax credits not refundable if not used for insurance coverage, employer mandate gone, state stability fund helping address market disruptions already occurring across the country, that's in there. Obamacare tax repeal, which is, by the way, phase one of the tax repeal as well. The Planned Parenthood defunding, the increase of that money then going to community health care centers, Medicaid reform. Dramatically more state control. So that's on pages. Those are from basically sections 101 through sections 206 that we're looking at there. We've done a full analysis of it. Yep.
Yeah, I must say, it's on ACLJ.org and Harry's blog post. Dr. Harry Hutchinson, who's on here, Professor Hutchinson, you can find it on ACLJ.org.
Okay,
you can also go directly. I mean, it's just budget.senate.gov. You can see it's right at the first page headline. Read the bill. You can read it there. So if you're looking for it, but you can get a more broken down version of it, where we actually give you commentary. Plus, you can read the full bill at ACLJ.org.
I think it's great. All right, so we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. First segment flew by. Logan, tell everybody what they need to do.
That's right. Give us a call if you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. But if you don't get the next half hour, Jay Sekulow, live, and some networks only carry the first half hour.
But most do now.
Most do, but if you don't, or if you just want a different experience, say you're going back into work or going to a computer, log on over to social media, facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. You can also get us archived on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast or download the ACLJ app in the App Store. We'll be right back with more.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
I'm talking about
close to a decision or a vote on the health care bill, and that's going to be the first phase of the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. The president, Obama, not too happy about it. He's saying this is the repeal of Obamacare. Cecile Richards from the Planned Parenthood, she's not. She calls the Senate just released his version of Trump Care. No surprise that defunds Planned Parenthood, threatens to care for millions. Doesn't point out the fact that under at Section 203, page 133 of the Act, it actually provides $422 million, replacing what goes to Planned Parenthood for community health care centers, including addressing the opioid crisis. So it really provides more community-based needs and also women's health care. That, of course, they ignore. And then President Obama has come out opposed to it. President Obama saying it's a horrible bill again. But we've talked about the fact that if this does go through, this is going to be an unbelievable legislative victory for the president of the United States, and I think it's going to salvage the healthcare system, which is a disaster right now for the American people. We've got a lot of calls. I want to get these calls. Let's take a couple in this segment. We normally don't because I want to move on to another topic. So,
all right, let's go to Terry in Pennsylvania on line six.
Hey, Terry, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for all you do.
Thanks.
We're small business owners.
Yep.
We've been paying for our own insurance all along.
How have your rates gone over? Tell people what's happened to your rates over the last 3 or 4 years.
Over the last 3 years, our rates have increased $400 a month per year. So at this point, we're at $2,200 a month right now. And it's for basic care. I mean, we get good care, but it's not anything fantastic. We still have a lot of
$25,000 a year for good care, you're saying, not great care, good care. $25,000, because there's no competition under the Obamacare method of doing this, because they really wanted universal health care. But go ahead, finish up your comment.
We tried to get insurance through other places, and we kept coming back to the same figure. And the reason why is, and this is what we were told over and over, is that we're paying for everybody that doesn't.
Yeah, well, you are. I mean, that, what is, you know, look, a lot of states have it where there's no, not even another. And there's one insurance company left, some states none. And that's part of the problem here.
Yes. I mean, you've got Senator McConnell talked about this on the floor of the Senate yesterday. He talked about some specific states that there would literally be no options on the exchange. Missouri, Ohio, and Wisconsin within a year. And that next year, you've also got 44 counties that will have no options on the exchange. So this is real. This is not hypotheticals. And you see major insurer after major insurer pull out. They talk about Medicaid, you know, the expansion that happened, but doctors only a third of doctors are no longer accepting nationwide. About a third of doctors will not even accept Medicaid anymore. So that's not like a insurance card as it was billed to people. So it is falling apart. It has been falling apart. The Democrats didn't win, which means they're not going to be able to save and build into a bigger government program, which people think, you know, maybe that was their ultimate goal, but they lost the elections.
Right.
So now it's up to the Republicans to dismantle it and put in a more conservative, limited government approach to this, and this is phase one.
I want to take another call, even though we've got just a minute 30. Take call five.
Yep, Kathleen in Connecticut.
Hi, Kathleen.
Kathleen, you there?
Yes, hi.
You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to ask, getting rid of Obamacare was a major reason why President Trump was elected. Why do they have to do this in three steps? Why can't they just get rid of it?
Good question. Because this is being done through the reconciliation process. So phases two and three will come through the regular legislative process. So this is a process upon which you can get this moved. So what's, I think, very wise here is you have a reconciliation process in place. It allows you to do certain things on Obamacare. And this is a major first-step repeal. And this is, so that's why it's a multi-phased approach.
And you don't have to worry about the Senate filibuster, which does still exist for legislation. There's no 60-vote threshold here. It's just a majority vote, so you just have to get to 51. And that's actually just 50 now in the Senate because Vice President Pence, as president of the Senate, can vote and be that 51st vote. That's why you have to use this process when it's available to you.
All right, we're going to be back with more. Logan, tell everybody how they can stay engaged. Some phone lines open. We're talking about the president's response on the tapes.
Yep, call specifically about those topics that we're working towards. Those on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you also. But 1-800-684-3110. Call on topic and we'll get you on the air. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Another classic bumper music from the Jay Sekulow Band right there. All right, let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to try to spend a little bit of time on the response to the president on the Comey situation and the tapes. But let's try to clear some calls out first. So let's go to those.
Should we do healthcare calls? All right,
yes,
let's go to Lisa healthcare in Modesto, California.
Hey, Lisa, go ahead. Quickly, please.
Hi, I'm all for the repeal of Obamacare, but I'm worried about those of us who rely on it.
Yeah. So are you getting your health care through the Obamacare exchanges?
I am, and I have a son with special needs who actually cannot even get to a doctor right now because they've stopped taking pediatric.
Yeah.
There's no pediatricians here that will take it anymore.
So the good thing is, I'll let Jordan and Than explain, but that problem you're not going to have anymore is the competition for insurance increases, and you will have more options available, especially as we get to phase two and phase three here. So it's not going to do away with what you've got, but it's going to make that affordable. And in your situation like your son's, hopefully will open up the markets again so that your son can get the care that he's needed. I mean, part of the problem right now is that doctors are just leaving the healthcare insurance field quickly.
Well, I think, you know, it's an interesting way to describe it because, Lisa, you said, you know, we rely on it, but it's failing you. I mean, you're not even able to, relying on something that isn't there, and that's what the Republicans are trying to do is, you know, I know it's when you change any kind of social programs like this, people get nervous. But I think you're actually the perfect example, Lisa, is that you're nervous because this system has already failed you. And what are they going to do to help you? I understand that. And that's why politicians have got to buckle down here and be ready to actually legislate and own it. Let me tell you, the Democrats are acting like everything's great. And Lisa, you're telling us from a blue state that you can't even get your son with the specialties to a doctor because they won't accept it.
Yeah, so it's this was the example of fake insurance. Yeah, this was supposed to be what this is. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, still in healthcare. Let's go to Andrew in Fresno, California, on line two.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, one of your callers earlier asked, what good is it going to do if they repeal Obamacare? And I just wanted to share our experience. 6 years ago, my wife and I got married, and we were buying insurance privately for $215 a month for both of us, and it was a very nice policy. You know, high coverages, low copays, all that. 6 years later, I don't have insurance because I can't afford it. My wife does have insurance, and it is a horrible, I mean, really, really bad plan for her and my son, and we pay $780 a month. If I wanted to add myself onto it, it's $1,000 a month, and if we wanted coverage equal to what we had when we were married, where we were paying $215 a month, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500 a month.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to a point where this healthcare for many people, it's more than their mortgage. It's costing more than their mortgage. I mean, Than, this call from Andrew, another call out of California, which is supposed to be these blue states that are so great at providing social programs to people. Andrew had insurance, then they put in all these. And see, this is, folks, when you get into that issue of things that, oh, when the government's mandating what the insurance must cover to qualify.
Such a big part of the problem.
This is why, Andrew, yours went up to the fact that you got it for your wife and your son, but you now are not insured. Because the cost mechanism, as Andrew was pointing out, I mean, Than, that's mortgage-level cost for insurance for young people. I mean, for a young family of one child and a young husband and wife, and it shouldn't cost that much for them.
Yeah, and Jordan, the reality is the situation that Andrew just described, as horrible as it is, he's actually one of the lucky ones because he's describing a situation where his health care is unaffordable. Well, guess what? It's not even available to almost half of America right now, and by the end of next year, it's going to be more than half of America that don't even have options. So, look, the structure of Obamacare has failed. The question is whether or not a new apparatus will be put in place or not. If Republicans don't pass something, Jay and Jordan, it's not that Obamacare goes away and you get another shot. Obamacare stays, and people like Andrew stay stuck in the situation that they're in.
All right, so it's exactly right. So that's why you got to get this fixed. I'm going to keep taking calls so we can get to some of these other topics. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to Mary Jean, who's calling in Geneva, New York.
Hi, Mary Jean.
Hi there. I'm wondering, why is Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and a couple others so against it?
Okay, they're not. First of all, I want to put the headlines are misleading on what's happening here. It's not that they're so against it. There's some things they want reconciled and fixed as this negotiation goes forward in the next few days. So what is? I'll go to Jordan on this, but again, the headlines have been completely misleading on this. Senator Cruz said, in fact, I'm going to play this bite, that he can get this to yes. He believes he can. It's bite number 22. He doesn't like. He says the current draft doesn't get the job done. We've got to do some more. Take a listen to what he actually says.
This current draft doesn't get the job done, but I believe we can get to yes. I believe we can get this done. There is an agreement to be reached, and I have been for the last 5 months working around the clock to get to that agreement. The key to getting an agreement, to getting a bill that can pass, is we need common sense reforms in the bill that lower the cost of premiums. The single biggest reason that so many people are unhappy with Obamacare, that are hurting under Obamacare, is because it's caused premiums to skyrocket.
So it's called, you know, listen, Ted Cruz is a good lawyer. You know what it's called? Dan just said it. Dan, it's good negotiating.
It's a negotiating posture, sure. Pure and simple. I'll tell you, Ted Cruz has been behind the scenes negotiating this for a long time. Yep. I would be shocked if he ends up on this. He wants a couple of tweaks.
I can't imagine.
Saw those tweaks in the House. I'll bet he gets them in the Senate.
I can't imagine at the end of the day it's a no. I do want to understand, it's incomprehensible to me.
No, I mean, I think that the only one, because, Ted Cruz is not as much of a libertarian as Rand Paul, is that whether Rand Paul just is stuck on the idea that there must be just repeal flat out. That was kind of his thought. But he, again, joined this statement that said, basically, we hope to get there, that we are not ruling out supporting this. So ultimately, will anybody stand in the way of repealing Obamacare when they can also defund Planned Parenthood? I think, again, we will know very soon. I mean, we're going to know this in a week.
Yeah, I think it's moving in a very positive direction in that regard. All right, we're taking more calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think we've got the last call on the health care, and then we're going to move to the president's response on the tapes.
Eric's calling in Alaska on line one. Eric, you're on the air.
And by the way, we've now got some lines open for you on the president's response on the tapes with James Comey at 1-800-684-3110. You can come in there. But Eric, go ahead.
Hey, Jay, love the show. Hey,
thanks.
My question is about the pre-existing health care
or
conditions. So I've been paying into the system my whole adult life, and so I get laid off, but I had the condition prior to the layoff or during the layoff. The new rules, I understand, only give you a matter of months before that pre-existing condition is exempt from your new health care. What can you tell me about that? I don't think it's fair. Sometimes it takes a year to get a new job.
Sure. No, I understand that. Than, you want to talk about the pre-existing condition provision?
Yeah, that's not accurate. Actually, Section 206 of the bill, beginning on page 135, says that you cannot be denied coverage for a pre-existing condition. So the Senate bill actually boosted this over the House position. So that's just not correct. I'd encourage you to go on and read the bill. Again, Section 206, starting on page 135.
Yeah, I've actually got it here. So I'm really glad, Eric, you called in, because this goes to the point of why we've gone through this bill. So it has that actually spelled out very, very clearly. So in that context, the pre-existing condition situation for you would be much better under this than what you're experiencing under Obamacare, where you may not even, that coverage will get so expensive, you're not going to be able to afford it. So glad that we were able to clarify that. Again, part of this is a disinformation campaign that's out there. Part of it is it's the legislative process. But at the end of the day, we've been able to answer every question you've asked on this, folks. And this tells you the nature of what we've got here. So I want to kind of, when the last segment of the broadcast, I want to talk about the president's response to the Comey tapes, the issue of tapes and James Comey. I'm going to give you some analysis on that, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, look for some comments coming in maybe on that one. But Jordan, let's kind of wrap up this segment with the significance of a presidential Supreme Court nominee, and then if this legislation goes through in July.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, obviously, everyone is going to be paying close attention in these next, the next week after this vote. Then the House could just take it right up as a text, especially because it's not so different as it stands right now, depending on the amendment process. Of course, the travel ban out of the Supreme Court, that's probably, it looks like that may not be coming today, likely Monday. That'd be an order.
Busy week.
And then the Senate vote probably later in the week. It stands at the end of the week on health care. And then, of course, you have what you've been working on as well, which people should take advantage of this because we haven't been on much to be able to talk directly to you about the Russia.
We'll take those calls. Logan, let's take those calls in this segment again. Ask me what you can ask me. I'll tell you what I can tell you and not tell you what I can't tell you. But
1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. We got about four lines available for you right now. Give us a call. We'll take those comments coming up. You can also comment on social media about this. We'll take those as well and during the breaks.
All right. So, Than, just to wrap it up, your assessment is we have a legislative victory here pretty soon.
I think so. Susan Collins is the only sitting Republican senator, Jay, who voted against this last time. Even the four senators you've talked about who have concerns, they all voted yes last time, and I think they'll be a yes again.
This will be a major, major win. All right, we come back from the break. I'm going to talk about the president's response on the James Comey situation and on the tapes. So we'll talk about that coming back from the break. The number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Logan's going to tell you how you can stay engaged with us on social media as well. We encourage you to do that. What can they do, folks?
That's right. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Like our pages. Follow us all. You can also find us on ACLJ.org. We have all our information there. Get the ACLJ app. But one line is still open. That's all. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with your calls and your comments.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
When it comes to protecting your Christian beliefs and constitutional freedoms, the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront, in the courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. Now more than ever, you need the American Center for Law and Justice on your side. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is countering organizations like the ACLU. The ACLJ has been called, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom by one of the nation's most influential publications. Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Broadcast. Everyone, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to change this topic and get into the president's response on the tapes. Here's what he said. We'll put them up on the screen for Facebook and Periscope. It came in two Twitter statements. With all of the recently reported electronic surveillance intercepts, unmasking, and illegal leaking of information, I have no idea whether there are tapes or recordings of my conversations with James Comey, but I did not make and do not have any such recordings. I thought that president's statement there was brilliant for a couple of reasons. Number one, it is completely accurate. Number two, it puts out to the American people again this problem that has gotten lost over the last few weeks. And remember how this January, February, March, what were we talking about? Electronic surveillance, intercepts, unmasking, and illegal leaking of information. So let's not forget all of that. And then the president said he doesn't have any tapes. Doesn't mean other people don't, other governments don't, but he doesn't. So I think it was very crystal clear response from the president. All right, this is our round. We take the calls. Let's go do that.
Let's go to Allison in Greenville, South Carolina. You're on the air on line 5.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, guys. God bless you. Jay,
thanks.
Just so encouraged by your new position with the president. We're praying for you daily and,
thanks,
of course, praying for President Trump and Vice President Pence.
And pray for all of our lawyers here at the ACLJ, because the work of the ACLJ goes on so many other issues,
yeah,
obviously not related to this. So we're,
true. And,
yep, we appreciate those prayers.
And my husband and I have been a supporter a long time.
Thank you.
I really had two questions.
All right.
One, do you feel like it would, I don't know, I don't like Comey still in the news, but would it be beneficial for him to go after Comey as a leaker? And then the other is just a general question. When will we ever get to the real issue of who leaked this information?
I'm going to let Jordan address the first one. I'm going to address the leaking. I think this leaking situation, which is still going on, by the way, and we know that in Washington, it is still going on today. There were reports on Thursday that information was being leaked, and they didn't know if it was from was it the special counsel's office, was it the Hill, regarding intel chiefs that had went and testified as to what the president did or did not say, and it was leaked. It all confirmed that the president did not tell them what to say or how to say it and not interfere with anything. But the fact that the information is being leaked is the problematic part of this.
Yes, and I think when it comes to Comey himself, there should be an investigation just of Jim Comey's,
yes,
actions as FBI director. Of course, because of his interactions with Loretta Lynch, his decision to say, manage that this is a matter, not investigation.
Right.
His decision to take over the DOJ role, to not question Lynch more about her refusal to recuse herself. And then, of course, the fact that you can add up the leaks to the same reporter at the New York Times throughout Jim Comey's tenure out of the FBI. It's the same reporter. And then, even before the tweet, before anything else, that reporter was got leaks from Jim Comey's, quote, friends. And then Jim Comey said under oath he did leak to a friend. So
right.
I think that there is a lot to look into there about criminal wrongdoing.
Sure.
All right, let's go to Melanie, who's calling in Florida on line 4.
Hi, Melanie. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. God
hey.
Bless you.
Thanks.
And thank you for all you do. I just wanted to say that I do think Trump is brilliant. I love him, and I just think that it was strategically, psychological, that he put that statement
well,
out there.
Here's what I love. I love the reports from the left yesterday. This, the president tweeting out that James Comey better hope there are no tapes, and now the response of the president, was that a manipulation? A manipulation of what? What did it result in? That James Comey actually had a fill in the blank, tell the truth. The president wasn't under investigation. I made a few rounds last week on some of the talk shows. You may have heard on this point. But guess what? James Comey confirmed that multiple times. And the left saying, well, did those tweets result in him telling the truth? As if that's a bad thing?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a little bizarre.
Like,
I mean, a little bit
before,
bizarre.
But then he decided not to lie. And he said it was keeping him up at night. I mean, again.
This is the guy that you had chasing after ISIS, by the way, on counterintelligence?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, okay,
it,
please.
But he said, he kept saying, this is under oath, he wishes he was stronger. That, to me, is an admission alone, not up to the job of standing up to either powerful people, dangerous people, and running a massive federal agency either. And again, yet he was spending his time with making his little memos, supposedly,
we'll
and
that too.
Sharing with all his friends.
Let's go to Cindy in Reno, Nevada. You're on the air on line 1.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
I was just wondering what we, the people, could do to help in this special prosecution that we are paying for. We all know that it's a political game, but it's got to be costing a lot of money.
Well, it does cost a lot of money, and this is just the way the system of justice works, and you now have a special counsel. So I'll just give you putting on a different hat here. Obviously, talk to you as the president's lawyer for a moment, not as the ACLJ chief counsel. I will just tell you this, that there's a process you go through here, and that process has to be dealt with on a legal basis, and that's what we're doing. If you want to maybe put my ACLJ hat back on and say there's a serious constitutional issue here, and that is this whole obstruction of justice against the president for firing the FBI director is within his Article 1 power as President of the United States. And no question about that. Article 2 power as President of the United States. And there's not a question about that. I mean, not a question about that. So this was in his constitutional power as outlined in Article 2. So I don't even, you look at this and you wonder what is really going on here. Sure, it's politics, but this is the nature of what we've got. We've got to deal with the reality we have.
All right, let's go to Renee, who's calling in Fort Collins, Colorado. Line 3.
Hey, Renee.
You're on the air.
Thanks for all you do standing up for Christians around the world.
Sure.
I support the ACLJ and pray
Thanks.
For you daily.
Pray for Pastor Andrew Brunson. We're really close on that case. Pray that we can get that over the finish line here. Really
yes,
ask you to pray
I
for
put
that.
Put him on the prayer list
Thank
at
you.
My church
Thank
as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
On a major news show this morning, a reporter from the Washington Post came on and said that both Obama and John Kerry knew that the Russians were meddling in the election.
Yep. Yeah, Jordan's got the report.
A massive report out of the Washington Post that the administration, the Obama administration knew, the CIA knew in July. They informed the president in August. They kind of put it out a little bit in October, but it was really not a lot of attention there, and they didn't specify at all. They just said Russians may be involved in some hacks. I mean, that's nothing new because of the WikiLeaks discussion. There's been that allegation before. So they didn't really fully disclose what they already knew was to be taking place until, of course, after the election. So they are under a lot of heat now from Democrats. This may be potential investigation on its own right here. When did you know it? And why did you wait so long to tell the American people and not give them any notice at all? And to the states. Remember, the states run these elections. So it's not the federal government running your voting booth.
Yep.
It is the state. They had no notice of this at all from the Obama administration.
Unbelievable.
It reeks of they thought Hillary Clinton would win, let Hillary Clinton win, and then we'll handle this. But instead, surprise, surprise, Donald Trump is president of the United States.
So that is why this...
Playing politics with national security yet
this
again.
This was under the Obama administration. The whole Russia issue was known and
they
nothing
did nothing
happened.
About it.
Nothing, zero. Nothing. And now they're making it into literally, they've turned it into a federal case. When before it was, there was nothing about it. Now, this tells you the hypocrisy of the whole thing. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We want you to stay engaged with us, though, during the course of the day, course of the weekend. We've got a lot of social media platforms where you can get information. Logan's going to let you know how you can do all that. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's important, too. We encourage you to do that. And Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged
with us. News breaks between now and Monday. We'll be here to cover it. But you can also find us tweeting at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at ACLJ. You can find us broadcasting here on Facebook each and every day. On a weekday, facebook.com/JaySekulow and American Center for Law and Justice. And you can also find everything you need to know at ACLJ.org and the ACLJ app available in the App Store.
We do tweet. We're not near as effective as the President of the United States.
I mean, maybe you're not.
You are.
I'm fairly effective.
All right, folks, that's going to do it. Have a good weekend. We'll take your calls on Monday and Tuesday. I'll talk to you then.
Now you can make a difference. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ than right now. Declare your membership today. The ACLJ is dedicated to protecting your religious and your constitutional freedoms. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.